text for this morning's meditation is from John chapter 8, these words. If anyone keeps my word, he will never taste death. So our text, dear brothers and sisters in Christ, here we are talking about death again. What's with that? Why that? Why death? So much talk about death, especially at such a time as this, when the last thing we want to think about is death. Can we talk about something else? Something to give us a bit of hope? A bit of a better feeling about the future? Why, Pastor? Why did you even pick these texts for this Sunday? Well, I didn't pick the text for this Sunday. These are the same texts that have been used in the church on this Sunday, Judica Sunday, for hundreds of years. These texts have fallen on this Sunday for hundreds of years because we're in the season of Lent, season when we think about, when we consider the passion of Christ, his suffering, his death. So the texts dealing with death. But why do we even do that? Well, we do that because that's the point. It's the point of Christianity, and that's the crucifixion of Christ. What was the cross of Christ but the sacrifice of Christ, the shedding of his blood, his death, to pay for our sins? And it's because of that shedding of blood, that death, that in Christ's resurrection, his rising from the dead, 3 days later, Christ overcame sin. And he overcame death. And he overcame hell. And he brought them under his power. Seated now in the right hand of the Father, reigning over all things in heaven and on earth. Now, it is this Christ, this Lord, this resurrected Savior into whom all Christians are baptized. And so from whom we receive daily the forgiveness of sin and life, salvation. We see these three go together. They go together. Death, the conquering of death by Christ in his resurrection, and our connection with Christ through faith, granting us the benefit of that resurrection, the conquering of sin and life and salvation. So the question for this morning, then, if we're going to talk about death, is simply this. What is it? What is the death of the Christian? In our text, Jesus says that those who keep his words will never taste death. And a few verses earlier, that such a person will never see death. For all Christians, even from the time of Christ, they've died. Christians die with as much frequency as non-Christians. So what does our text mean then? What does Jesus mean? Does it mean actually that there have never been anyone who has kept his words since all have died? I think that's a good question. So let's answer it. Let's begin with the 12-year-old daughter of the synagogue ruler Jairus. In the Gospel of Luke chapter 8, we read about how Jairus came to Jesus because Jairus' daughter, his only daughter, was very, very sick. Well, before Jesus could get to the house to heal her, she died. I mean, the news reached Jesus that it was so before he arrived. And what then did Jesus say? Do you remember? Do not fear, only believe, and she will be well. And entering the house and seeing the mourners there, Jesus said, "Do not weep, for she's not dead, but sleeping." Yes, the girl was dead, but Jesus said she was sleeping. Another instance we can consider here is that of Stephen, the martyr Stephen, who as he was being stoned, as people were throwing stones at him to kill him, Stephen is said to have what? Fallen asleep. Let's listen to that incident from Acts chapter 7. "Now, when they heard these things, they were enraged, and they ground their teeth at him. But he, full of the Holy Spirit, gazed into heaven and saw the glory of God and Jesus standing at the right hand of God. And he said, 'Behold, I see the heavens open and the Son of Man standing at the right hand of God. But they cried out with a loud voice and stopped their ears and rushed together at him. Then they cast him out of the city and stoned him. And the witnesses laid down their garments at the feet of a young man named Saul. And as they were stoning Stephen, he called out, Lord Jesus, receive my spirit. And falling to his knees, he cried out with a loud voice, Lord, do not hold this sin against them. And when he had said this, he fell asleep. Now, it is interesting that those who sleep often do look like they're dead, right? They're still alive. Remember, as a young father looking at our firstborn Isaac in his crib, sleeping so soundly, he wasn't moving. And thinking he had stopped breathing, I put my hand on his back quickly just to see if he were, in fact, sleeping. I think all young parents do that. Returning to Jairus' daughter, to Stephen, traditionally our text from the Gospel of John, where Jesus says the Christian will not taste death, the Christian will not see death. Yes, traditionally these texts have been understood as meaning the Christian will not experience death. The Christian will not experience death. Meaning more to the point, the death of the Christian is indeed a falling asleep, where the Christian loses consciousness of the here and now and awakens in our heavenly home with our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. In his presence, in heaven, like Lazarus who finds himself next to Abraham and the thief on the cross who has promised entry into paradise, the very day of his death, today you will be with me in paradise, is what Jesus said. The transfiguration of Christ, Jesus was found to be talking to Moses, to Elijah. And the reason that is so is because God's not a God of the dead. He's God of the living. The Christian, then, the person who believes in Jesus as their Lord and Savior from sin and so death, will awake from the sleep of death in life itself, in eternal life, in the presence of God. Okay, this is so. The death of the Christian is merely a sleep, a transition from life here to eternal life in heaven. What's the death of the non-Christian? What's the death of the person who's rejected Christ? Well, the death of the person who's rejected Christ is the experience of death, the tasting of death, the seeing of death. In other words, it's a horrific thing. Why? Well, it's one thing to fall asleep and wake up in the presence of God. Another to be sent away from the presence of God. To experience the total abandonment by God. To experience being torn away from the presence of God. And that is what happens with those who die apart from Christ. For everyone now, think about it, everyone now on the face of the earth lives to a certain extent in the presence of God. The heavens declare the glory of God, and the earth his handiwork. What does that mean? But that even if we do not acknowledge God, even if we don't confess Christ, everyone now is living visibly in what God has created, in what God has made. We all, both Christians and non-Christians, are existing in this house called creation, which God has made. But the non-Christian in their death no longer even has that. No longer gets to experience that. No longer is sustained by that. And here we can think of our Lord and Savior Jesus on the cross crying out, what? My God, why have you forsaken me? What's happening there? Could it be that even at that point in time, our Lord and Savior was experiencing the death of the sinner, experiencing the abandonment of God, the total abandonment of God, that is death. All we need to do to understand this personally, is to remember a person in our lives, a good friend, maybe even a family member. All that we need to do is to understand the experience of death, apart from Christ, is to think of the time when such a person, good friend, close friend, someone with whom we shared our closest moments and private thoughts, abandoned us, left us, turned their back on us, stopped talking to us, stopped encouraging us, stopped loving us. If we've ever had such an experience, situation in our lives, we have been given a taste of death. We have seen death, a mini death. So Job, remember what he said about this, all my intimate friends abhor me, and those whom I loved turned against me. It's all we need to know about death. That is, that it is a continuance of our existence, but without God, without his blessing, his keeping, without his face shining upon us and being gracious to us, without his countenance being lifted upon us, simplifying. In death, the Christian falls asleep and awakes in the visible presence of God. In death, the non-Christian is driven from the presence of God, like Adam and Eve from the Garden of Eden, to live forever apart from God's gracious presence. No more horrible thing could be imagined than that. So the wonder of Jesus. So the great gift, which is the salvation gifted to us by our Father in heaven through faith in Christ. So that we won't ever taste death, ever see death, ever experience death. We'll simply sleep, only to awake to life everlasting. Amen. Now may the peace which passes all understanding keep our hearts and minds in Christ Jesus unto life everlasting. Amen.